and of the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated.
The fire will be going out in a few moments. We tested it several times this week, and still it didn't go quite according to plan. Burned a little bit longer and a little smokier, but I think we'll all be okay. Pentecost is one of the three great festivals of the church, around which the church calendar spins. Three festivals are the anchors of the Christian year. We spend Advent, all of December, getting ready for the first great festival, which is Christmas. And then just after that, we spend Lent getting ready for the second festival, which is Easter. Pentecost is just one Sunday, and yet it sets the tone for the whole rest of the year. If you remember that throughout the summer, you come in and see on the top of the bulletin, fifth Sunday after Pentecost, 10th Sunday after Pentecost, 27th Sunday after Pentecost, right until the first Sunday of Advent, and we start all over again. So more than half of the Christian year is lived in the light of Pentecost, that day when Jesus fulfills the promise that he makes to his disciples, that although he is no longer with them in body, he has not abandoned them in spirit. When he appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, as he prepared to ascend to the Father, his promise was to send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who would move among them and give them everything necessary to carry on to completion the work that Jesus had begun among them, which was to bring the kingdom of God to fruition on earth. The Spirit would give them everything they needed: courage, hope, insight, the gifts of healing and teaching and encouraging, all those gifts that St. Paul names in his letters: kindness, gentleness, self-control. So Pentecost and the long season that follows it would be all about welcoming that Spirit into our lives, being inspired by it. That's what the word means, inspire, to have the Spirit indwelling within us. Now, I would know that that fire would go out, the Holy Spirit fire would go out right in the middle of my preaching. This season of Pentecost is about living with that Spirit within us and letting it move and shape the things that we do and the choices that we make, so that those choices and actions take on the shape of the kingdom. That's curious to me, given that this is one of the three great festivals of the church, that it never gets quite the same attention as the first two, right? We don't have Pentecost parties like we throw at Christmas time, and we don't have people over for Pentecost dinner. And it's curious to me why that is. I suspect the reason is that too much talk of the Holy Spirit makes us nervous. It's powerful and uncontrollable, and it makes us feel a bit like that fire in the middle of the church made us feel this morning: uncomfortable, nervous, uncertain how it's going to act, uncertain whether we're going to be safe. Christmas is something that happened to Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and God became flesh among us. Easter is something that happened to Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead. Pentecost is something that happens to us if we're open to it. Pentecost is when God's Spirit blew through the back streets of Jerusalem where Jesus' followers were hiding away from the authorities, huddled in an upper room, afraid and alone. And that Spirit turned those fearful disciples into agents of God's transformation in the world. I think Pentecost gets short shrift because we're a little afraid of what it demands of us. If we open ourselves to this Spirit of God, what's going to be asked of us? And also, I think, because we associate the strangeness of the Pentecost story, we felt that in the reading today. All of these languages jumbled up all together. The sound of a violent wind. We associate all that edgy, dangerous power. Today, we associate it with Pentecostalism, with speaking in tongues in church and people standing up and waving their arms and being slain in the Spirit and falling back on their backs. And we think, us nice Episcopalian, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with that. But I think those fears, for us, are little more than a distraction. I don't think anyone here is going to be moved by the Holy Spirit to stand and speak in tongues. The fact is that those disciples that first Pentecost day weren't either. They were just normal people like us. And what they received that day was the ability from then on out to be unafraid and to notice where there was pain in the world and be unafraid to offer a hand, a word, a gesture, some kindness that would convey God's healing and God's love. They began to notice where people were being trampled on, and they were given the ability to act in ways that helped to restore people's dignity. That first so-called speaking in tongues was not glossolalia, which is what we see in Pentecostal churches sometimes. It's not another spirit language that no one understands except a few gifted ones who might have the secret. But what happened at that first Pentecost is that all those disciples who were from Galilee and spoke the same language suddenly were able to speak in multiple languages, so that people who had come and gathered in Jerusalem for the Festival of Weeks, the Jewish festival, could understand in their language the message about Jesus. The Spirit simply gave them an extraordinary ability at that moment to reach out beyond their own people and beyond their own culture and their own narrow personal concerns. That's all that story is about. And that's the only danger we find in the Holy Spirit, that it might actually enlarge our lives. It might call us out beyond ourselves and our own personal interests to serve others, to be moved, to see and to respond to what's needed in the world. And it's about how that power is given to all of the disciples and not kept as a special power of Jesus. There's a wonderful preacher named Tony Campolo, who's a Baptist. Don't get worried now. He's a Baptist preacher of some renown, fantastic, wonderful, gifted man. He has for many years now hosted and sponsored a ministry in Haiti, which has 25 or 30 schools spread out throughout the countryside in Haiti. And they're taking peasant children, children who would never otherwise learn how to read, and giving them the gift of literacy. He tells a story about a time when he went to visit Haiti to check in on the schools and to see what was going on and what they needed, if there was anything else he needed to bring back to them. And so he spent several weeks traveling around the countryside. And when he would go back from these trips, he would go back to Port-au-Prince, stay one night in a hotel, get back on a plane, and come home. He tells a story that one time, after these several weeks traveling around the Haitian countryside, which is no small task, I've been there, the roads aren't good, it is desperately poor, dirty and exhausted, he came back and was just getting out of his taxi, couldn't wait to get inside and take a real shower, lay down in a real bed, and get up in the morning and go home, when he was intercepted by three teenage girls. And those three girls said, "Hey, mister," in their broken English, "for $10, we'll do anything you want us to do all night long. For $10, you just say the word." And he said, "Really?" And he asked each of them, "Was it $10 each?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "Okay, I want you to meet me in my room in 10 minutes. Gave them the room number, and off they went. Not very happy. It's hard to disguise, he said, contempt, even though they tried. And off they went up to the room, expecting that it would be an evening like many other evenings that they had spent. But Tony Campolo went inside and talked to the concierge, and he asked him to round up every Disney video that he could get his hands on. And he asked the kitchen to prepare the biggest banana splits they had ever seen, four of them, and to put everything on them and deliver them up to the room in 10 minutes. And Tony Campolo, exhausted, dirty, tired of all the needs and wants and the inability to meet all of them, absolutely exhausted by that process, he went up to his hotel room and spent the whole evening with these three little girls watching Disney movies and eating banana splits, laughing and joking in broken Creole and English until the girls all collapsed on the bed and fell asleep and slept through till the morning. The Holy Spirit is about enlarging our world when we are exhausted, wrapped up in the concerns of our own small lives. A life lived inspired by the Holy Spirit gives us energy beyond what we know we have ourselves. It doesn't transform everything. Tony Campolo says he knew those girls would be right back out on the street the next day. He couldn't save them from that life permanently. But he knew that if he just spent one evening giving them the experience of being kids again, of laughing and innocently enjoying banana splits and Disney videos, that there would be one small shred of dignity more in the world because of that action. The Holy Spirit is a dangerous thing. Not dangerous always in the way we fear, but dangerous in that it's going to call us out beyond our limits. I've had several people since I've been here at St. Francis call me on the phone and give me hints that they're being called out beyond their limits. One person called and said, "I don't know, something, God is doing something in my life. I feel like there's some greater purpose that I'm being called to, and I'm not sure what it is." And that person's on a path to discover that now. Another person, in the midst of conversation, discovering a need in this community, families who have autistic children and who have wandered away from this church because their children are hard to manage on Sunday morning and they've been afraid of upsetting others and disturbing anyone here at church. And so wandering away bit by bit and not coming to the well for nourishment that they need. This person in a conversation is now leading a ministry to make sure those families can stay here, be accompanied, and come and receive what it is they need. This season is all about enlarging the boundaries of our world. It's about drawing close to this kind of dangerous, fiery stuff that pushes us a little bit and asks more of us. So I ask you, how is God calling you? Is there some stirring in your life that you're not paying enough attention to because you're afraid of what it's going to demand of you? If so, I remind you of the one story, the wonderful line in the Chronicles of Narnia when the children, if you remember this, are going to meet Aslan, who is a figure for God. And the guide, they ask the guide, "Ooh, this is scary. Is he safe?" And the guide says, "Oh, no, he's not safe. He's definitely not safe, but he's good." If we allow ourselves to be moved and pushed and shaped by this Holy Spirit, we're not going to start speaking in tongues, but we may just be speaking in ways that communicate the unbounded love of God to this community and this hurting world. Thanks be to God. Amen.